All right, here we are. This is our final week of Own It. Look at your neighbor and say, Own It. Own It. We began this at the beginning of January with the idea that we are taking ownership of our being a disciple, what it means to follow Christ, and taking ownership of that in 2017. The following week, we had a snowstorm, ice storm, whatever you want to call it. So we skipped a week. But last week, we talked about taking ownership of the idea that we are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. What that means to us and how we have to step up and do our part and take ownership in that. And today, to close out this series of Own It, I want to talk about our position in the community. It doesn't matter if you live here in Chillicothe, if you live in Brookfield, Linnaeus, you know, Jamesport, wherever you live, it's taking ownership of the idea that you can be a light, just like the video talked about, into the darkness, into those around you that live nearby you, your neighbors, the people that you see every day. We are to be a light into the darkness. And I want to look at a couple of scriptures that we've talked about the last few weeks. I want to read those, and then we'll get into our text today. First of all, I want to read you John chapter 14. We read this last week, understanding that we are the bride of Christ. What that means to us, the rights that we have in being the bride of Christ. And Jesus told us this in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. He said, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." So we can do things even greater than what Jesus did on this earth. Now look at verse 13. "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That's why we are to be doing these things, not to glorify us, but to glorify God. Verse 14, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now listen to verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commands." I think what that's saying is, to whatever degree we obey God, that's the degree at which we love Him. If you love me, keep my commands. So let's look at a scripture we talked about in being a disciple, John chapter 13. If you just back up one chapter, verses 34 and 35, and we read this just a few weeks ago, Jesus said this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I think that scripture could be the core to this entire series, this idea of Own It. If we're being a disciple, then we're probably going to be doing our part in the church and in the body of Christ. If we're truly following Christ like we should be, we'll be doing that part. If we're doing our part as a disciple, we'll probably be doing our part in the community, and that is going and making other disciples. So it all comes down to loving one another. Here's the problem. I'm afraid that the world is so much more aware of our political views than the things of which and the things of which we object than the reason for the hope within us. We're very quick to let everybody know what we don't agree with. What about what we do agree with? God's Word. We live it every day. But are we professing that like we are the things that we object to? The best way to change our world for good is not with a protest sign, but with good deeds and kind words of hope. Church, we have the answer. His name is Jesus Christ, and we are to be sharing that. We are to take ownership of that. Martin Luther said this, "God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does." So here, as you turn to Matthew chapter 5, this will be our text for today. It goes right along with what we're going to talk about today. So turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 14 through 16. Beginning in verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds." Everybody say good deeds. "And glorify the Father in heaven." The more good deeds we do, the brighter the light shines. It's a simple concept. It's not real deep. Now, I'm going to ask Jennifer to do me a favor. Jennifer, will you lower the lights down? And I'm going to, this is the most simple, basic explanation I can give you for this. We do not produce light. We are not a light. We are to reflect light. And what you will see here, yes, hi Whitney, hey Jenny, is light that goes into a mirror comes out 100% the same. Nothing is diminished when light is shown into a mirror. You can see exactly as bright from the mirror as what you get from the light. So church, when Jesus is shining a light on us, people should see Jesus just as brightly as we do. When Jesus is forgiving us, we should be forgiving others just as we are forgiven. When grace is bestowed upon us by our Lord Jesus, we should be giving that grace in the same amount as it is given to us. Thank you. Can we pray? And let's just ask God to be with us today. Lord, may we understand this concept of the light. God, we don't produce it, we reflect it. We are to be giving others what we are receiving. And may we take ownership of that today. God, in our community, wherever that may be, may you use us with love and good deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To be fair to you today, for us to talk about community and what it means to take ownership of that, I want to give you the true definition of community. So I looked it up in the dictionary, and there's two definitions, both of which apply to us today. Let me give you the first one. The first definition of community says a social group of any size whose members reside in a specific locality and often have the common cultural and historical heritage. That's Chillicothe, that's Brookfield, that's Trenton. You share a common heritage and cultural, whatever you want, background, I should say. Now, some people move into that. We've been here 8 years. I feel like we're a part of Chillicothe now. And I love this town. I get to share in some of, I don't go back as far as some of you do, but I get to share in the heritage. So we are a community. But here's the second definition. A social, religious, occupational, or other group. Okay, we're going to be the religious group in this church today. A religious group sharing common characteristics or interests and perceived or perceiving itself as distinct in some respect from the larger society within which it exists. So we are a smaller community residing in a larger community of Chillicothe. This makes sense, right? So we as Cornerstone Church can leave this place and spread and share a light that has been shining upon us and brighten our community. We are to be doing that. And think of the difference we can make. Look around you at the people that are here and the difference we can begin to make if we just begin to reflect the light of Christ. So there's three reasons I want to give you today as to why we've lost the idea of community. Three things. Number one is increased mobility. The average American moves once every 5 years. If you are 20 to 40 years old, you move once every 3 years. So it's kind of hard to be part of a community when we're moving a lot. Now, that doesn't tell me that you have to just stay in one place. What that tells me is we have a small window of opportunity to bless our neighbors. We have a small window. You need to get to know your neighbor. If they've been there 2 years, and like Courtney said this morning, you're looking at your community right here in the church, and you're saying, well, I haven't met them in so long, I'm embarrassed. You know what? Today's the day. Get to know your neighbors. Get to know those in your community. And use that as an opportunity to shine light through love and good deeds. So the first issue we have in dealing with community is increased mobility. Number two is modern conveniences. Now I'm going to go way back here. So I want you to bear with me, but I'm going to bring this up to today. Modern conveniences have changed the culture of community. And this is how. The air conditioner. What? What are you talking about? The air conditioner changed the culture of community, because before air conditioning in the house, when it was hot, you went to the coolest place, which was out on the front porch where there was the most air. So all the neighbors were sitting out on the front porch. They would converse with one another. They were talking. Their kids were playing together. Once air conditioning came along, everybody just goes in the house. They're cool and all's well. Another thought, the detached garage became an attached garage. Remember when you used to watch old movies, or when you do watch old movies, they have the detached garage. And you would park your car, you'd walk out, you'd see your neighbor getting the mail, mowing the lawn, whatever. You're waving at one another, being happy to see each other. You knew your neighbors. But all of a sudden, the attached garage came along. We could push a button, we could pull into our back cave, we could close the door, and never say a word or wave at anybody. Modern conveniences changed the culture. The answering machine. It's obsolete now. Think about this. The answering machine is no longer even, we have voicemail on our cell phones. But the answer, I remember before the answering machine, my brother and sister and I would hear the phone ring, and we would race to see who could get to it first because we wanted to know who was calling. But once the answering machine came along, it was like, I'm not answering that. I'm going to wait and see who it is and decide if I want to talk to them. Now, we don't even set up our voicemail. We think, if they need me, they'll text me. The answer machine is no longer even needed. Modern conveniences have changed us. And number three, the third thing that has taken away this idea of community, and I know you get hit on this one a lot, but I'm going to say it anyway, social media. And everybody just goes, oh, not again. Really? You're going to harp on us about social media? It's a great thing in many different aspects. But understand, I was just reading the other day, social media is causing an epidemic of deferred loneliness. What does that mean? Deferred loneliness. What we do, we feel lonely. We have no one to talk to. So we take a little selfie. We put it out there to see who's going to like it. And we start getting a few likes and somebody's, oh, you look cute in that picture. Oh, thank you. I do look cute in that picture. Well, it only took me 37 tries, but I got it. I got the perfect picture, and people start liking it. The problem is, it does not alleviate or eliminate the loneliness that you still have. It just defers it just a little bit, and all of a sudden it's back. You can have 1,000 Facebook friends, but have no one to call when you need to talk. So how can we, as Cornerstone Church, as a community, begin to reach those in our overall community? And the answer is through love and good deeds. Will you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6? They can just leave a message. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to read verses 17 through 19. Hope I didn't embarrass anyone. I don't even know who that was. Verse 17 says, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now look at verse 18. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. For us to take hold of life, we must be rich in good deeds. Now, we, in this modern society that we live in, we can determine rich by how much money somebody has in the bank, by what kind of car they drive, by what kind of house they live in. But how many of us are tacking away good deeds? Man, we're just building them up, and we are rich in good deeds. Are we so focused on earning the income that we need that we don't have time to be rich in good deeds? Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. You do not have to turn there. I'll throw it right up here. Look at what it says. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Look at your neighbor and say, refresh others. and you will be refreshed. Now, Courtney already asked how many ladies were here Friday night. It was awesome just being able to be a part of it. I'm not a lady, but I got to hang out and lead the worship and be here and be part of it. And it was fun. But I'm going to ask the ladies that helped. I know we already said thank you, and we do appreciate all the ladies that helped, but I want you to stand again. Any of the ladies that were involved in Friday night, just planning, being a part of any part of it, just stand up for a second. Now, stay there. Don't sit down. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you don't mind, because I'm going to ask you a question. You can be honest. I didn't tell them this ahead of time. Just going to ask them a question. But I want to tell you something. As we had this event Friday night, people not only from our community came, but from Cameron and Princeton and Milan and from all surrounding communities came into this church, and we were able to shower them with love and good deeds. They didn't just hear the gospel message through the songs that we sang, through the messages that my wife amazingly preached. It wasn't just that shared love and good deeds. It was through massages that they were getting in the foyer. It was when they walked in the building seeing the decorations and the time that was put in for each one of them. The hand scrubs, which I don't even know what that is. I think it has to do with sugar. I think it makes your hands smell like candy. I don't know. But I didn't get one. But they had sugar scrubs. They were making deodorant probably to bring home to the guys because we stink. I don't know. But they were doing all kinds of stuff. And every one of those things was a kind gesture to every woman that walked in the building. Now, this is my question to you ladies that are standing. How many of you could be honest and say you were refreshed knowing and watching other ladies be refreshed on Friday night? Every one of them. Thank you. You can be seated. We can read things in the Bible and it sounds good, but when we're living it out, when we're living proof of love and good deeds, and we're not doing it for our benefit, it's for God's benefit. However, we receive something out of that. We ourselves are refreshed. I love that. Now, here's the thing. We live in a time where we hear all the time, as Christians, that non-Christians do not like us. They don't like us shoving Jesus down their throat. They don't want us always inviting them to church and tell them about God. But here's the thing. If you can catch anything, the big difference here today is people think differently about Christians than they do about a neighbor who is a Christian. Let me say it like this. If you're deciding to go invite your neighbor to church, you never met him before and you just walk over and you say, "Hey, I go to Cornerstone Church. I love Jesus. You want to come?" You know, there's actually statistics that say they could say yes. So it's not a bad thing to do that. But here's the thing. The chances of them saying yes go way up when you just be their neighbor, when you're showering them with love and kind words and good deeds and being the light that we were talking about, shining to your neighborhood. And there's ways to do that. And then when you invite them to church, they're so much more willing to come because they know you. They trust you. They understand you're not bringing them into something crazy. You know, the media will take the weirdest, craziest Christian and put them on TV and make us all look like idiots. You know what I'm talking about? So we got a job to do to even prove to people we're normal. We just love God. We're normal people. We just love God. And that's what Friday night was about. That's why we host events like that. But I love bringing them in the church, but it's also about us going outside this building and just showering our community with love and good deeds. Are you saying that being a neighbor, you know, means I have to have ulterior motives and I'm just friendly because I want to invite them to church? No. Are you saying I should be a neighbor and do love and good deeds so that I can, you know, have a better standing with God and win His approval? No. No, what did Scripture say in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25? It said, "The generous people will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." That's awesome to know that as we give to others, we ourselves are going to be refreshed. And here's the profound reality of all of this. I'm going to get deep, real deep, just for a moment. When it comes to your neighbor, if you're not asking, they're not coming. That is deep, yeah. If you're not asking, they're not going to come. We have to know them. We have to ask them. We have to shine the light of Jesus to them. I want to read you a story. This is, I couldn't even believe this. I did look it up to confirm this. This is a true story. Anybody ever heard of Yvette Vickers? All right. I'm kind of glad to see that because this is who she was. She was born in Kansas City, but she moved to L.A., became an actress. She was a former Playboy playmate and B-movie star. Now, the best-known role that she ever played in was a 1958 film called Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. Anybody ever heard of that? I hadn't. But here's the thing that she's known for now. She died at the age of 82 in 2010. Hear what I'm saying. She died in 2010. Her body was found, however, in April of 2011. According to the Los Angeles Coroner's report, she lay dead for better part of a year before a neighbor and fellow actress noticed cobwebs and yellowing letters in her mailbox. She reached through a broken window to unlock the door, pushed her way through the piles of junk mail, mounds of clothing that barricaded the house. Upstairs, she found Vickers' body mummified near a heater that was still running. So the Los Angeles Times posted the story as a headline. And it said, mummified body of former Playboy playmate Yvette Vickers found in her home, which went viral. Over 16,000 Facebook posts shared this. Over 800 tweets put this out that she had, all for the longest time, had been known as this horror movie icon. But now she was known as a different kind of icon, a different kind of horror. And it was the growing fear of loneliness. She received much more attention in her death than she did in her final years of life, with no children, no religious group, no immediate social circle of any kind. After searching for Vickers through her phone bills for clues that the life that she led near the end of her life, in months before her death, she had not made calls to friends or family, but to distant fans who found her through internet sites. Church, may we not have Yvette Vickers living next to us. May we reach our neighbors. May we be looking to shine the love of Jesus through kind words, through good deeds, through sharing Jesus and shining a light into the darkness. That is what we are to do. May we take ownership of this in 2017. I'm going to ask the band to come back, and we're going to close this thing out in a moment with some communion and just singing a song, committing to Jesus together. But I got to tell you, I want to leave you with this simple thought. Three truths that will encourage you to be rich in good deeds. Three things. Number one, my good deeds are pointers to God, not myself. I'm not running for mayor, I'm running for the Savior. Doing a good deed is not a selfie moment. You don't help some old lady across the street and then stop in the middle of the road and be like, okay, let me get a picture so I can share this and show everybody how good I am. No, we're doing it to point people to Christ. Yesterday, four of us showed up at a young lady's house who's moving to Florida. She didn't have anybody to help her move. So we showed up and we spent a couple of hours moving her stuff into storage so that she could move to Florida. That's not an opportunity for me to invite her to church. She's moving. I could have said, you know what? There's no chance of that, so why would we help her? Church, we're pointing people to God. And as we finished moving her stuff, Lance spoke up and just said, can we pray for you before we go? And as we held hands and prayed for her, with tears rolling down her eyes, she thanked us for just taking the time to help her and to share the love of Jesus with her. It was not an opportunity to fill the church. It was an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus into her life. And I pray that she goes to Florida looking for a church. She may already be a Christian, I don't know. But I pray she knows the love of God more than she did before yesterday. That is our goal. May we be, through our good deeds, pointers to God, not to ourselves. May good deeds be samples of Jesus. How many of you have ever been to Walmart and you're walking through the aisle and there's a woman standing there with an apron and she's got a little counter and she's got samples for you? How many of you like the samples? Honestly, I'm not a fan of the samples because if I take the sample, I want the whole thing. If she's got a bowl there, I'm going to want the whole bowl or I'm going to want the whole meal. That's the point of the sample, is to get you to like it so you'll buy it. Church, we are samples of Jesus. As we share love and good deeds with other people, we're saying, here you go. Here's just a taste of Jesus. And as we do that, may they want more. And if they do, if they, man, that was good. You just say, you know what? You just had a little sample of how good Jesus can be. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Our good deeds are samples of Jesus. And number three, our good deeds are invitations. Good deeds are invitations to God. They're also invitations to church. Church, be your neighbor. Be a neighbor to your neighbor. Be loving. Shine light into the darkness. And you ought, we'll find ourselves blessed. We'll find ourselves refreshed by taking time to love our neighbor. I end with this scripture in John chapter 12, verse 24. It says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, church, if we die to our selfish ambition, if we die to our selfish desires, and we begin to share the love of Jesus through love and good deeds, it produces many seeds. Say this with me. Say, your good deeds produce many seeds. Your good deeds produce many seeds. May we die to self. And may we live for Christ. And share the love of Jesus through love and good deeds. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, God, when we recognize what you have done for us, how could we not want to share your love with others? God, may you use each one of us in this place today to begin finding ways to share the love and good deeds that you have shown to us. May we shine that onto others. In Jesus' name, and with your head still bowed, I just ask, is there anyone in this room that you may say, you know what, Chad, I hear what you're saying, but I don't even know what the light of Jesus is like. I've never accepted him into my heart. I've never had that grace you were talking about. I've never had that forgiveness that you're talking about. I've never known the peace that Christ can give. If that's you and you want to accept Jesus into your heart right now, will you just lift a hand? Nobody's looking. Nobody else needs to know about it. It's between you and God. Will you just lift your hand so that I can say a prayer for you? Anybody in this room? See that? You can put your hand. Anyone else? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Lord Jesus, you see these hands that were raised. God, they're longing for a relationship with you. May that begin right now. And Lord, may this not be just a one-day change. God, may it be a lifestyle change for them today. May they know the peace that passes all understanding as they walk out of this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you raised your hand, I would love to pray for you at the end of the service. So if that's you, I just encourage you to come forward after we're done, after we get through singing the song and receiving communion. I just want to share the love of Jesus with you.